And now for the offering sermonette, Mr. Ian Munro.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bowles, and good afternoon, everybody. Whenever I hear that last hymn that we just sang, I sometimes wonder, you know, when I'm old and grey, I was a lot younger when I first started attending a church, and here I am now, a grandfather. It sometimes appears that just about everyone is after our money. There are demands on our purse for local and national taxes, duties on fuel, and just about everything that we buy has got some sort of sales tax on it of one form or another. Then there are the letters from all types of charities which tell us about the advantages that so many pounds per month from us, the advantages that these pounds from us will bring to individuals or communities scattered around the world. And we'd be pretty calloused and hard-hearted if we weren't touched by a twinge of conscience every now and again when we read these begging letters, when we look around and see the affluence in which we live in a world which, in the West here particularly, we live in a world which is unsurpassed in the history of mankind for the standard of living that we enjoy. Many of us have slaves in our households, admittedly powered by electricity to do the washing up, the washing, even the dusting of the floors. And then our homes, many people would consider those to be palatial. Indeed, to many people, our homes really are palaces. And we look around and we see all these situations and all of these things. Does it harden our hearts a little bit when we see these letters coming in asking for money from us? And some of these situations truly are horrendous. I say here in the West we enjoy the most abundant blessings. And today we are here in accordance with the command to assemble before God, to give an offering. And here is another call on our disposable income. And it is in addition to our regular tithes that we give to the church for the work. Now I'd like to explore our attitude in assembling together and giving our offering. This is because how we approach this subject is of paramount importance. So first of all, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. Here we find the command to which I've already referred, and we are told to assemble together in the place that God will choose. We're told that we must come with an offering, and we're told that we must give according to the blessings that we have received. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, we read the following. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place where he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. So there are 3 aspects of this particular command. Firstly, we are to appear before God in the place which he has chosen. Secondly, we are not to appear here empty-handed. And thirdly, we should give according to the blessings that we have been given. So here we are, in accordance with the first part of that commandment, we are duly assembled before our Creator God. The second point is that we should not appear empty-handed. And we must come before God with an offering. And I'd like you now, please, to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. And here the Apostle Paul gives us some additional information of how we should approach our offering. It's not just that we come here with an offering because we have to, because we are commanded to, but because we should really want to share and be part of the work that God has given us to do. So here we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we begin in verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So here we have it that we are to approach this willingly. It's not something which we do simply because we are commanded to do it. We should want to give. We should want to give because God loves a cheerful giver. God is going to share with us eternity and immortality and the universe. And we should want to share with him of our good store. Now, if we go on a little bit further in this subject, we presented ourselves here, we've got our offering with us, and there is yet another aspect to this, and I'd like you please to turn with me now back to Mark chapter 12 and verses 41 to 44. And here we read of a widow who came to the treasury of the temple, and we read how she gave. She wasn't a rich woman because we're told that she was poor. And we don't exactly know how much she started out with on that particular day, but it wouldn't have been very much. But in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, we read, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and said unto them, Truly I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living." Now, I'm not saying that we should all reduce ourselves to poverty by giving more than we can really adequately afford. But that which we do give must in some way reflect the blessings that we have been given. And we must give it because we want to show that we recognize that we have been blessed by the Almighty. We show these blessings to God by giving to him of our tithes and our offerings. We share with him our good store in that fashion. And we share with our brethren that good store because it enables the church to feed the flock and also to do something of a work at this time. So here we are as commanded. We have our offering with us, an offering which will reflect the blessings that we have been given, an offering which we have in all probability budgeted for over the months, because we know that we have to come here to appear before God and we not to appear empty-handed. And because we have budgeted for it, we know that we can give it with an open heart, to give it open-handedly. And it is in this way that the work that God has done will be blessed, that his work will be able to go forward. And our prayer should be that the blessing will be on this offering, so that it will enable the church to do what it has to do. Now, all of the things which come through the letterbox, these begging letters telling us about these problems in other countries, how our money will help other people, will not be solved by this world. They will only be solved by God's government being reinstated on this earth. And it is by that government being reinstated on this earth that all these problems will be solved. And it is by our tithes and offerings that that work can be done to prepare a people that God can use in that coming kingdom, in that coming government. And we will now take up the offering, and while it has been taken up, there will be offering music, which will be sung by Mr. Jonathan Bowles. It is Psalm 27, Lord, You're My Light.